The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Whatever happened to love and tolerance as a trait of those who practice Christianity? It seems like our current obsession with identifying with one polarization or the other has even trickled into the area of religion, making people enemies of other Christians, of other faiths. And it's so horrible to see what's going on in a culture that always has prided itself on an openness towards acceptance of all religious faiths, all practices from any culture in the world. We even enshrined it in our First Amendment of the Constitution when we said Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, it seems clear to me that if we make no law respecting an establishment of religion, we can't enshrine Christianity as part of our cultural norms that make things illegal only because they happen to offend people of a certain branch of Christianity, a more fundamentalist look of Christianity, or someone who thinks that they can speak for God on this earth. That troubles me. Now, I was raised extremely religious, or I should say I was raised in an extremely religious household where church was part of everyday life, moral teachings were part of everyday life, my schooling was also religious-based. And yet, I find it reprehensible that religion has come to embody the worst traits that human beings can exhibit. Everything from intolerance and bigotry to hatred to judgment, all of the things that we are taught Christianity, if you model it on what Christ was showing us at least, everything that it should not be about. In other words, what Christ did on this earth was model tolerance, love, and open-armed respect for everyone. He displayed warmth and acceptance. He didn't sit in judgment. He told us to love each other, that was his greatest commandment. And yet we are doing anything but that. You don't see people loving each other and saying, let's just love each other. Let's just accept each other's viewpoints. Instead, they're trying to actually turn their narrow beliefs into public policy. Now, there are over 300 million Americans in this country at this time. It isn't right for any one sect or any one segment of any one religion to try to impose their viewpoints on the rest of us. That just doesn't wash. It isn't right any more than another segment of another sect tries to say we all must wear burqas or some other such practice. When we're seeing the ensconcement of fundamentalist Christian principles into our laws and a push to do things like deprive women of their rights to make their own reproductive choices, for instance, we've got a serious problem here. These aren't people really pushing religion. They think they are, I'm sure, and I believe that in truth they believe they're doing the right thing. But whenever we do anything that disrespects another or foists our beliefs on another, we are anything but Christian. We are anything but religious. We certainly are not spiritual. And maybe this is a good time to draw the distinction between spirituality and being a religious person. To be spiritual is a higher calling than any one mere religion. When Christ walked the earth, and that's what the reason I'm mentioning Christ is because what I'm referring to right now is the hard right fundamentalist Christianity that's being practiced in this country that really isn't Christian at all. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's a fact that we are seeing the people who are most fundamentalist. And I think this happens in any religion, by the way, whether you're looking at the fundamentalist arm of Muslims, which is Al-Qaeda, and the people who are trying to foist even more restrictive policies on the women in their society. When you get into radicalization of anything, you're looking at policies that hurt a lot of people. That is decidedly not Christian. Christianity in its purest form is love. Simple. That's it. There's nothing else. When you see people shouting and yelling and carrying signs outside an abortion clinic, for instance, that isn't love. That isn't tolerance. It certainly isn't lack of judgment. So it's best that we leave people alone. Each one of us is a moral agent. Each one of us belongs to ourselves, and our lives are between us and God, if you believe in God. It's not a group project. While people may band together in a certain church or a certain denomination, our lives are truly a solitary journey of one, all the way home to God, on our own path. That needs to be left to God. That needs to be something that we deal with internally. No one's path is like any other person's path. And the sooner we get that through our heads, the sooner we can accord each other the dignity we each deserve as human beings created in the image of God. We need to be seen for the soul that we are and not treated as though we're someone to lord over, someone to make over in our own image. I'm sure that we have plenty of work to do on ourselves without sitting and pointing fingers at people who don't happen to share our view of what God is all about, of what spirituality is all about, of what life is all about. That varies. My goodness, we have millions of us. Of course, our perspectives, our viewpoints, and our beliefs are different, and those need to be honored. Each of us needs to be respected, and like I said, each of us has an inherent dignity. If you ever read anything about ethics, it talks about what should we do. The whole study of ethics is about what should we do? What is our moral imperative? We should demonstrate our belief that Christ is our model by walking the walk, by walking that openness to others, that determination, always demonstrate the highest values, to respect another, to stop others from judging another, opening our arms and our hearts wide to the differences inherent in each and every one of us. When we see intolerance and bigotry, bias, hatred, and judgment, any certainty, any lack of respect, we are definitely not witnessing Christianity. We are witnessing something ugly, something that is taught in the churches that are the most radically conservative, the churches that keep women as second-class citizens. When you see things like this, when you see that we are not all given equal footing on a level playing field, that cannot be true Christianity. That cannot be truly religious. That cannot be spiritual. I think if people will take the time to look at their belief system and at what they've been taught, where it comes from, what the motivation might have been for it, if they look deep into their hearts to see if they actually feel a connection to what they're being told, if it makes sense to them, and if it fits with the precepts of Christianity, which they're basically two precepts, and two only. Judge not, lest ye be judged, and love one another as I have loved you. And love is the greatest commandment. So it shouldn't be so difficult. You hear a lot of times that this is a Christian nation, that we're founded on Christian principles by Christians. Well, a lot of people don't understand that many of our founding fathers were not Christian. This country wasn't founded to establish Christianity. This country was founded to escape being forced to become a religion or to face discrimination if you were not of the Anglican faith. The founding fathers knew it was important to have a country that was open to everyone and that did not dictate any religion, but allowed people to practice freely. That still makes sense today. Yet, Despite this, we are seeing such intolerance towards other religions. We see a denigration of atheists. We see a denigration of Muslims. We see a denigration, and have seen it before, of Jews, of Mormons, of Catholics. You know, that's what we're supposed to not be doing. We didn't see any sign of that from the modeling that most Christians point to when they decide how they're going to live their lives. Abortion, gay marriage, there are issues galore that beg us to look at them and to examine our hearts, to look deep within our souls, and to try to ferret out what has made us believe as we do in these areas. I find it so ironic that the people who are absolutely rabid about women making their own reproductive decisions are equally apathetic when it comes to what happens to the children who are born to women who can't afford them, who don't want them, who are unable to parent, who are abusive, and whose country is one day going to send them off to war without a backward look, without worrying about them being blown to bits or being psychologically destroyed in another country for no reason whatsoever. We need to begin to look at the consistency of our beliefs. We need to begin to look at the logic of our beliefs. Let people alone. They're not hurting us. You are not God's watchdog. God can handle it himself, I'm quite sure. If everyone truly believes in judgment at the end of a life, which is a fundamental belief of all Christian faiths, then God's got this one, guys. It's not up to us to judge each other. It's up to us to love each other. It's up to us to help each other. We've got to quit looking down on each other and creating a they and an us, a you and a me. We need to be helping each other. That is the sure sign of true Christianity. That love, that willingness to lend a hand, to not denigrate others. Instead of screaming about abortion, instead of screaming about two men or two women who love each other, why don't we start screaming about the millions, literally millions? They're estimating over 20 million children in this country go to bed hungry every night. Why aren't Christians screaming about that and trying to make sure that our programs ensure no child has the pain and the misery of not having enough to eat? Why aren't we more militant when it comes to using the homes that we have that are now vacant, usually because of foreclosure, usually because of our country shipping jobs overseas to make the rich richer, and because of predatory lending practices that took good Americans who had worked years and years to buy into their own home, who have been there for up to decades without any problems, but who have been blindsided by an economy that has been deep-sixed by the people who have the most power and the most money? Why aren't we helping them instead of saying, oh, well, they could get a job if they really wanted to? Or treating them as though they were just people trying to keep up with the Joneses and they lost their homes because they borrowed money for a home that they couldn't afford. That's not true. That's not what the facts show if you investigate it further. So I'm troubled by all of this. I don't understand the logic of people who out of one side of their mouth are proclaiming their Christianity and their fidelity to God, their fidelity to Jesus Christ, and out of the other side of their mouth, they are full of name-calling and intolerance, bigotry, bias, hatred, and like I said, denigration of another. We are each other. We are each other. We belong to each other. We belong to this planet and this world. It would be wonderful to see Christianity in action, and that would mean reaching across the aisles, which you don't see anymore in Congress these days, which is sad, but reaching across the aisles, the gulf that divides us as individuals. We're very good at being individuals in the United States, sadly, almost too good perhaps. We've got that highly competitive spirit, but this isn't the time to compete with each other. This is the time to band together, to lift each other up in times that call for assistance from the other, assistance and open-heartedness, consideration, compassion, warmth, appreciation, respect. That's what these times call for. That's Christianity, and that's what we need to do if we want to call ourselves Christians. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.